Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Parajari Palava Girivarana Jai Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadari Mala Bhagiri Varada Yashoda Nandana Pachachanda Ranjana Dana Pachachanda Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Pachachanda Ranjana Nandana Namuna Tira Vanachari Vanachari Namuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Jaya Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadari Gopi Janavala Jai Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Vallabhari Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana Dana Bhajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Bihari Vishnu Paramahansa Parvajikacharya Sotara Sata Sri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Vishnu Paramahansa Parvajikacharya Sotara Sata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nanta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sigaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Jumuna Mai Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vinna Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 64. This chapter is entitled Paranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Samanaso Hamso. Hamsena Pratibodhita Swastas Tad Vyabhicharena Nastanapa Punasmitam Smitim Evam Samanaso Hamso Hamsena Pratibodhita Swastas Tad Vyabhicharena Nastan Apa Punasmitim Evam Samanaso Hamso Hamsena Pratibodhita Swastas Tad Vyabhicharena Nashtam Apa Punashmitim. Evam Samanaso Hamso Hamsena Pratibodhita Swastas Tad Vyabhicharena Nastanapa Punasmitim Evam Samanaso Hamsa Hamsena Pratibodhita Vyabhicharena Asanapa Panasmitim Evam Samanaso Hamso Hamsena Pratibodhita Swastas Tad Vyabhicharena Nastamapa Punasmitim Evam Samanaso Hamso Sena Patibodhita Sastastad Vyabhicharena Asam Apa Pranasmiti. Evam sa manaso hamso hamsena pratibodhita evam sa manaso hamso Amsena pratibodhita sastastad vyabhicharena asamapa punasmitim evam thus saha he the individual soul manasaha living together within the heart Hamsa, like the swan. Hamsena, by the other swan. Pratibodhita, being instructed. Swasta, situated in self-realization. Tadvyabhicharena, being separated from the super soul. Nashtam, which was lost. Apa, gained. Puna, again. Smritim, real memory. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In this way, both swans live together in the heart. When the one swan is instructed by the other, he is situated in his constitutional position. This means he regains his original Krishna consciousness, which was lost because of his material attraction. Let's read that together. In this way, both swans live together in the heart. When the one swan is instructed by the other, he is situated in his constitutional position. This means he regains his original Krishna consciousness, which was lost because of his material attraction. Here it is clearly stated, Hamso Hamsena Pratibodhita. The individual soul and the super soul are both compared to swans, Hamsa, because they are white or uncontaminated. One swan, however, is superior and is the instructor of the other. When the inferior swan is separated from the other swan, he is attracted to material enjoyment. This is the cause of fall down. When he hears the instructions of the other swan, he understands his real position and is again revived to his original consciousness. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, comes down, avatar, to deliver his devotees and kill the demons. He also gives his sublime instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita. The individual soul has to understand his position by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master. Because the text of Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood simply by academic qualifications. One has to learn Bhagavad Gita from a realized soul. Tadvidhi panipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tapadarshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Thus, one has to select a bona fide spiritual master and become enlightened in his original consciousness. In this way, the individual soul can understand that he is always subordinate to the supersoul. As soon as he declines to remain subordinate and tries to become an enjoyer, he begins his material conditioning. When he abandons this spirit of being an individual owner and enjoyer, he becomes situated in his liberated state. The word swastha, meaning situated in one's original position, is very significant in this verse. When one gives up his unwanted attitude of superiority, he becomes situated in his original position. The word tadvyabhicharena is also significant, for it indicates that when one is separated from God due to disobedience, his real sense is lost. Again, by the grace of Krishna and Guru, he can be properly situated in his liberated position. These verses are spoken by Srila Narada Muni, and his purpose in speaking them is to revive our consciousness. Although the living entity and the supersoul are one in quality, the individual soul has to pursue the instruction of the supersoul. That is the state of liberation. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Om Gyanatamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashachade Shatanane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vansakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasinibhyascha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So this is yet another wonderful verse. I always appreciate how Srila Prabhupada goes right to the heart of things. And this verse touches on this point. It's in general, people take up spiritual life with a really hazy notion of what it means to progress spiritually. Even they practice religion for years, but what is actually the really central point? What are our issues? What are we dealing with? And how do we deal with them? Those important topics remain obscure for the most part, even in the world's great religions. So here, this Bhagavatam directly deals with the point of our relationship with Krishna. So this particular verse occurs. We know that Paranjana, this story is being told by Narada Muni. Paranjana was a materialistic person, the archetypical materialist for us to understand. Being attached to his wife, he took birth as a woman. whatever we think of at the time of death, that will determine our next birth. So that's there. Then by the mercy of the Lord, in his woman's body, he had a very wonderful husband. And she, it's confusing, had a wonderful husband. And so anyway, at this point, that husband has also left this world. And in the grieving condition, the soul in that body of Vidarbhi is in a helpless grieving position. And it's at that time that the Lord appears to her in the form of a brahmana and speaks. But it's understood it's actually the super soul, the Lord, speaking these verses. It's always been one of my favorite verses at the beginning of that section where the brahmana is speaking and says, don't you remember that you once had a friend? Don't you remember? You once had a friend. And actually, we don't remember. We had a very dear friend in Krishna. We had such a dear, loving friend, but we don't remember that. It's completely lost. So this is beginning, and so here it's clearly said that so this friend whom we unfortunately turned our back on and came to this material world, that friend actually never left us, although we left him, and he remains with us as the super soul. Here it's described in a very poetic way as Hamsa Hamsena. We are swans. We're actually not this material body. We actually don't become contaminated by all the muck of this material world. The material world is a pretty mucky place. It becomes very confusing, and the conditioned soul becomes involved in so many unfortunate circumstances. But actually the soul remains pure. Uncontaminated. Hamsa. Here it is said that they're both pure, white, uncontaminated. But because of being separated from Krishna, then we become attracted to this material world. Actually, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would explain that the material world is not exactly created by Krishna, but it's created by the desire of the living entity to be separate from Krishna. Of course, Krishna is the creator. So it's our desire to be separate from Krishna that this material world manifests and gives us the opportunity to enjoy in so many different species of life. And so as long as we're in that situation, we can't see the Lord who is within our own heart. We think that so many things in this world are dear to us. But the one who is actually within our heart, who is so close to us, we're not even aware of his presence. I remember many years ago I had a discussion with a young man who was very influenced by the impersonalist philosophy, this idea that we'll become one, you know, where that we are God, and actually get to be like a god, so to speak, from the material point of view. Still, the true hankering of the soul is never satisfied. So, and this desire to enjoy goes on and on and on. So, really, the only way out of this perplexity is to hear. This is explained very nicely in this verse. That this deep-seated desire, Prabhupada mentions this in so many different ways, how we decline Krishna's invitation. How does he say it? Anyway, don't say it right now. Anyway, we're subordinate. We're subordinate to the Lord. So And we decline to serve him. So that this begins our... This is the hard knot. This is our struggle in the material world. Even as we attempt to take shelter of Krishna and attempt to take up spiritual life and become devotees of the Lord, then we become really confronted with this nature that, as Prabhupada says, the causeless unwillingness to serve. I could serve Krishna, I could be happy, but I don't want to do that. So our only way out of this situation, the only way to change our heart, to change this tendency, is to hear from Krishna, to hear from a self-realized soul. So it says, you know, here it is, as soon as he declines to remain subordinate and tries to become an enjoyer, he begins his material conditioning. When he abandons the spirit of an individual owner and enjoyer, he becomes situated in his liberated state. So it's such a simple point. This is our decision. It's our decision. So do I want to be a servant of Krishna, or do I want to continue trying to enjoy this material world? And then, as soon as we want to enjoy the material world, then the material energy is there to cover us. Welcome home. I've got something for you. It's not so bad out here after all. There's lots of things to enjoy. Don't you remember your old friend Maya? I'm waiting for you. So we have to hear. Sometimes people want to see God. This is the challenge, that if God's there, why doesn't he just show himself to us? You know, why does he make it so hard? You know, why doesn't he just show himself? But Srila Prabhupada would always say that hearing is the first class sense for understanding that which you cannot see. So we can hear Krishna, and that's also a valid way of perceiving Krishna. You'd always say, why do you give importance to seeing? By hearing, you can understand the presence of something. Just like I may not see you, but if I hear you talking, I know you're there. I don't think, well, I have to see him, right? I've been gone for a long time, so my wife and I are conversing on the phone. So I know she's there somewhere. I can hear the voice, right? Not that I have to see. So in the same way, Krishna's speaking to us in so many different ways, but especially he's speaking through the words of the spiritual master. Now, a very important point here that we should really look at deeply is that the individual soul has to understand his position by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, because the text of Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood simply by academic qualifications. I was just reflecting this morning how practically everything we talk about is inconceivable, and you can't know what it is. Even like we're chanting Hare Krishna, and we say, this is Krishna. Really? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'm just mouthing some words, and that's God? Really? Do you believe that? You expect me to believe that these words are God? Do you expect me to believe that? People challenge like that. Or anything, even the simplest. Even we explain, you're not this body, and people think, yeah, that makes sense. You know, they can, you know, if a person's a little pious, they can get some idea that there's consciousness apart from the body. They get some idea. But if actually a person is very materialistic or atheistic, even the concept of that makes zero sense. It's the farthest. It's so far away. So we always have to remember that whatever spiritual realization we have is coming by the mercy of Krishna. It's not by our endeavor, it's not by our big intellect that we're able to understand. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. A lot of you are distributing books and trying to, you know, perhaps preach to people. And have you ever tried to explain something to someone and they just don't get it? Has that ever happened to any of you? All the time. I remember a graphic example. One time I was, you know, just trying so hard to convince this person, and I was thinking, I'm explaining this so nicely. I've got all this nice philosophy and arguments, and it's just, it makes so much sense. Why don't you get it? But he was like, no. And finally I just, okay. But Krishna was also teaching me, when we go out to preach, we're not only, Krishna's not only preaching to them, but he's preaching to us. Sometimes we get more from it than they do. So a little glimpse I got from that exchange was that it's not by my explaining that he's going to understand, or that anyone can understand. I may try to explain. Certainly I do, and I pray, you know, we try to pray to Krishna to give us the words to say. And we find that when a person is sincere, haven't you seen that? When a person is sincere, they want to understand, all of a sudden, all these wonderful things come out that you think, how could I have said something so nice? And we understand it's because Krishna's there in their heart and they're sincere. He wants them to hear something, and he's revealing something from within them, and so he allows us to speak. So this understanding of Scripture, even we read Bhagavad Gita, even we hear the spiritual master, this is, happens by the grace of the Lord, that if we're able to understand, or whatever we're able to understand or not able to understand, it's not happening by our own endeavor, it's happening by the grace of the Lord. So devotional service really means to come to this awareness. This is humility, to understand that I can't do this on my own. I can't become a self-realized soul on my own. I can't clean my heart even. I've got so many dirty things in the heart. Those things will never be cleansed by my endeavor. But those things are cleansed, the clouds are lifted, my causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna is gradually eased by the Lord's grace. It's actually by the Lord's grace. Of course, it's not that we just lay back and, okay, everything happens by Krishna's mercy. Like one person was saying, so Krishna says, sarva dharma pricha ja mamekam. So when Krishna says it, you know, you should surrender, but, you know, so everything's up to Krishna. When he wants, I'll surrender. No, he wants. He's already instructed us. He wants. But he's also waiting for us. So as Prabhupada would often say, that Krishna is more eager for us to go back to him than we are to go. So that actually the conditioned soul is not at all eager to go back to Godhead. You can see, just like Prabhupada sometimes talks about the demigods, you know, 33 million demigods, isn't it? And he said they're devotees, but they're devotees who want to enjoy the material world as devotees. So they remain here to enjoy the material world. So although they're attempting to serve Krishna, still this separation, this illusion of being the enjoyer, the controller, is there. Therefore, we have these amazing stories of Indra and Brahma, such powerful personalities who become bewildered by illusion because of this, still the separation from Krishna is present within the heart to some degree. This has to become our sincere desire to serve Krishna and to constantly beg Krishna for his help. Practically speaking, chanting japa, it's just that. Sometimes Prabhupada would explain, normally he would explain that when we're chanting, it's a prayer. My dear Lord Krishna, my dear energy of the Lord, my dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service. But sometimes, one time he was asked, what is the meaning of this? And he said, it means, oh my friend, oh my friend, oh my friend. So practically we're just putting our case before Krishna again and again. Please reconsider me, my Lord. Please consider my situation. I've turned my back on you, and even today I'm still not so much interested really in a relationship with you, but please help me. Or as Srila Prabhupada said also, I'm trying but I'm failing. Please help me. So when this sincerity awakens in the conditioned soul, then Krishna feels inclined to reciprocate with that. As Queen Kunti said, that my dear Lord, you can easily be approached, but those who are proud of their situation, or who don't really think, I don't really need Krishna. There was many years ago, I knew a devotee. He got in a car accident. And when he came back and he told us, I got in this accident. And we asked, did you chant Hare Krishna? And he said, I knew it wasn't that serious. So, yeah, anyway, you get the idea. So when another time Srila Prabhupada said, all my disciples are sincere, but they're not all serious. So when the sincerity comes that let me actually take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna becomes inclined to come to us. And part of, it's not mentioned here, but part of this, this part of our path, and a very important part of our path in coming to this sincere position of surrender to Krishna is to hear from those who are actually surrendered, because their mentality affects us. Just like by hearing, we're daily hearing from Srila Prabhupada, and this is such an important part of our process. Even where disciples, grand disciples, there will be great grand disciples, and so on, and on and on. But it's always important for us to hear from Srila Prabhupada and from those who are developing their love for Krishna, who have love for Krishna, because it's described, their mati, or their mentality, rubs off on us. It affects us. And as there, and then that changes our desires. It's very hard to change desires. Have you ever noticed that? How hard it is to change. I don't want to desire this. Can you really do that? So hard. We get these desires, and sometimes they're outright embarrassing. But still we're carrying them around. So they change in part by hearing from Krishna, but they also change by associating with persons whose hearts are full of love for Krishna. Bhakti comes from bhakti, bhakti comes from bhakti, as it said. So by that, by hearing, therefore it says tadvidhi pranipati na paripyashina sevaya, by service, by surrender to those who have seen the truth. How are they able to see the truth? One who's, as Prabhupada says here, disobedient to the Lord or declines the service of the Lord, they cannot see the truth. They cannot know the truth. But one who has surrendered to Krishna, one who loves Krishna, one who has developed their love for Krishna, then they can see the truth because Krishna comes again and again to them. We cannot make Krishna appear, but he comes to us due to our sincere desire to serve. So this process of hearing again and again from Krishna to show Krishna, I'm trying to turn towards you. Please enlighten me. Please cleanse my heart. It's not an academic inquiry again, as Prabhupada explains here. It's not, you know, challenging or trying to grapple in that way. It's, as Prabhupada would say, submissive oral reception. I'm hearing from Krishna. Krishna, please enlighten me. I'm hearing your words, but I can't understand your words. I can't understand your holy name. I can't understand anything unless you reveal it to me. So therefore, we use this term submissive oral reception. By grace, by grace everything is understood. Prabhupada also says that the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the active principle in our spiritual advancement. In other words, it's like the fuel, the gasoline that makes the car go. If we don't have the mercy of Krishna, we don't go anywhere. So therefore, the devotee, his endeavor is always to hear from the Lord, to continually hear from the Lord within and without, to try to see Krishna in every circumstance, how he's speaking to me through the scriptures and also through my daily life. What's Krishna sending my way today? What will I understand today by what Krishna is sending me? And to have the association of, as Prabhupada said, those who have not forgotten Krishna. In this way we can hope to change our consciousness, to revive our consciousness of Krishna. Swasta, he says here, this is our real position. So I'm speaking too much. I'll stop here. Any questions, comments, corrections?
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for your class. I was really appreciating the depth of the message, and you presented it very simply and still a very deep message. I was thinking that before the conception of real service awakens in our heart, we tend to want to enjoy everything in devotional service, as you were saying. We tend to want to enjoy everything we come in contact with in devotional service. We want to enjoy the deities, we want to enjoy, you know, the prasadam, we want to, especially devotee relationships. And I was wondering if you could share some insight on how, when we are accustomed to enjoying a particular relationship, and then at some point that devotee may decide to say something that is in our best interest, but we may not want to hear it because I'm not used to them not enjoying this relationship, Prabhu, or Mataji, or whoever. So I was wondering if you could share something about how we don't fall in this trap, and how we can hear from those also.
Well, it's a very sincere, thoughtful question. Thank you. Well, there's two things. To say that we're not enjoyers doesn't mean that there's no pleasure. It's a question of how we're experiencing pleasure. That's the distinction. A pure soul experiences unlimited pleasure through service, through serving Krishna. In fact, they don't even look for their own pleasure in that circumstance. There's a famous story of Dhruka, was it? who was fanning Krishna, and he went into ecstasy, and he was really upset because it was going to interfere with his fanning. So it's paradoxical that we try to give up the idea of being the enjoyer and develop the conception of service. Just let me serve. And in that position of service, we experience a pleasure that we've never experienced before. And by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that pleasure is available to us even in the beginning of devotional service. At least maybe not in its fullest extent, but we get a tangible experience of spiritual pleasure. Otherwise you wouldn't be here. You've just sat through probably a horrible, boring class, but because you've had a taste of devotional service, you're here anyway. Right? Because you've experienced something. You're all here because of an experience, right? Not just intellectual knowledge. Some experience was there. And that, because of the service attitude, to some degree it's been awakened, so that pleasure of Krishna consciousness comes. Srila Prabhupada explains this in the first canto, that even in the beginning, by reading Bhagavatam, we can get a glimpse. Of course, we understand from a theoretical point of view that part of our pleasure in the beginning of devotional service is because we're being relieved of sinful activities. So there's a relief. Part of our happiness in devotional service is just relief from the karma. But still, there's a tangible experience of spiritual pleasure, which is different. And we do need to experience that, but we have the bad habit of always turning that the wrong way. This is kind of your question, that we get some pleasure in devotional service and we want to enjoy that in a material way. And then very quickly the actual pleasure disappears. And there's not a lot of material pleasure to enjoy in devotional service, really. I mean, maybe you can become famous as a devotee, but there's no taste in that. Or, you know, people offer you some respect or something, but it's not a whole lot. So in answer to your question, sorry to go around the long way, but in answer to your question we have to constantly be reminded of our situation, and that comes through hearing daily. We have to hear our rounds, we have to hear these things. Then when our friend tells us something a little unbecoming, we will hear that as Krishna's instruction instead of something else. As soon as we're on the material plane, then we won't like to hear those instructions. But if we can constantly remember that we're, by hearing, if we can constantly be in the mood of serving, let me say one other thing, that we don't really have much of a relationship with each other individually. What is really the relationships of this? In the material world, we want to have a relationship with a person directly. It's just you and me. We love each other, and it's you and me, and we're really close. But it's based on the body, and they don't want to have Krishna in the middle of that relationship. Right? People, we see this practically. I want to have a relationship just with you. Where does God enter into this picture? But actually the living entities have very little to do with each other except through Krishna. It's through Krishna that we experience a real bond with another living entity. So it's actually through that service that we can feel closeness, a real sense of closeness. And this is practical. We have this experience that we meet devotees all over the world, and we don't even know them. We've never even met them before, but we feel this love and this affection for them. You know, we may not be highly advanced, but we can experience this, that we feel this, this great love and affection. And like you said, we need that, you know, we do need that. It's not Maya, you know. But that comes because of our relationship with Krishna. When, if we somehow or other sever our relationship with Krishna, then all of a sudden, we don't have any relationship with devotees anymore. There's like nothing in common. And we actually feel like, what are these guys doing? You know, we feel like that. So it is really based on service. It's based on our surrender and our, you know, awakening our attraction, trying to awaken our attraction for Krishna, that we have our relationship with each other. And I don't know, that's our faith. That's where our faith is, that by service I'll be happy. And I don't know if I'm not sure I've answered your question all that well, but if we can keep in that mood of service and surrender, then that we'll have that kind of relationship with devotees, which will be actually be meaningful. And then we can appreciate. Then whatever they explain to us, we'll take it as Krishna's mercy. And Krishna's telling me something through this person. Maybe you're having to deal with this on a daily basis. Maybe you have some insights on that.
I think you've spoken so nicely. I was, as you were explaining, I was thinking about Jiva Goswami's phrase. It says, Bhajaniya Parama Purusha Sukha Matra Sva Sukhatvam. That one's real happiness, which is one's, I guess, rightful asset, comes from service unto Krishna and His pleasure. Parama Purusha Sukha Matra means no other consideration other than Krishna's pleasure. Sva Sukhato, that's one's own pleasure. So we may be, like you were saying, struggling in some relationship or relationships, and we try to work it out in so many different ways. You know, we have self-help books and this and that. But the root cause is, in today's verse, and because we have moved away from Krishna. I really appreciate the way you said it, because if we have left Krishna, then in the same devotees, we look at them and say, what are these guys doing? Wow, I said it very in such a practical way. So the first area to work on is going back to see our own connection with Krishna.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we may try this technique, that technique, this tool, that tool of communication, all of that we might try. And it may even help in that immediate situation, but deep down we cannot have any connection. At best we might avoid a conflict.
Yeah.
But no relationship.
Yeah. Won't get to the root. Yeah. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So the difficulty I've faced in trying to become serious is that there is also with that, because the false ego is so big, we become hard-hearted or like finding fault with other people who maybe are not as serious, or maybe it's like we're doing too much austerity. And so how to become serious while keeping that soft heart and really being joyful, because Oftentimes the material conception serious means it's not going to be any fun.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, therefore it said that dry austerities make the heart hard-hearted. The austerities of the mind bodies. Well, actually, I think that being genuinely serious means having a soft heart. It's really, they're synonymous. They're really synonymous things. If we're just, artificially trying to do something, then it's the enjoying mentality that always comes up, that let me enjoy the material world, and then we forget. It's subtle, but we forget, and we're not like the devotee that got in the car accident. Well, it wasn't that serious. I'll chant my rounds today, but I don't really have to call out to Krishna. Or maybe I know that I should, but I don't want to. This is, kind of our struggle, I think, on a daily basis. That do I really take shelter of Krishna? So, it is important that along with our endeavor in Krishna consciousness that we endeavor to respect and love all the devotees. It's another kind of austerity, I guess you could say, that we're trying to do. Chinadapi sanichena tarodapi sahishina. These things go together. We can't, without the humility, in other words, it's not just by becoming, staunch. It's actually by realizing that we're helpless, that we become, so that we sincerely take shelter of Krishna. Then that's sincere, and it's also serious. But it's also involves, really appreciating those other persons around you that are struggling in the same way and that are helping you, right? Because it's not a cheap thing. It's not a light thing to become a devotee. So, we're struggling, and when we see others around us that are also trying, we should be friends. We should help each other, right? We should help each other on the path. I don't know if that helps at all.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Praises for your class, for sure. So, my question is this. It sounds like it's a personal question, is that when we're doing japa, that the focus, it sounds like it's almost more of like a surgical procedure. Then it's very
just
different.
That's just where I'm at right now. Okay. But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, that's... I hope that's not the wrong words to use.
Well, it is, yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
Is the wrong words to use?
No, it is a surgical procedure.
Yeah, so I guess I was just wondering...
To see what we chant.
Hare Krishna. I'm going to try.
To have a focus of wanting to have taste for chant. And most of that's a third one.
Well, that's a nice point. Yeah, we are again it's that subtle point of, you know, we can experience pleasure. We're meant to experience pleasure. Anandamaya Abhyasat. That's our, you know, that's our nature as souls, is to be full of bliss. But as long as we're thinking, you know, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, in that sense, I'm the Ishwara, we're bereft of that pleasure. We're separated from that pleasure, and we're on the vain search for happiness, right? Pursuit of happiness. Endless search for happiness. So it's the, you know, it's kind of the original paradox that our Prahlad, I think, says that, right? That as soon as our, what's the verse? Anyway, as soon as, you know, we, our endeavor to enjoy the material world is there, that's when our suffering begins. So we just, you know, we just don't get that, you know. So even in material life, I mean, excuse me, even as we take up spiritual life, yeah, we think, you know, I want to experience bliss. You know, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, you know, where's the bliss? Where's the happiness? Right? That's not really the focus. That's not actually the focus. The focus is, how can I become a sincere servant? And if that mentality is there, then automatically we'll actually be full of pleasure. We'll be filled with pleasure by the grace of the Lord. So, yeah, it's always, therefore, you know, mantrata, what is it? That one has, when one's chanting the name, they have to remember the meaning of the name. So the meaning is, let me serve you. I'm calling out, let me serve you. Let me, you know, let me be your servant. Or a kind commitment prayer is, please purify my heart. Because how can we serve if our hearts are not pure? So this is the endeavor. I remember at the Kirtan Mela in Germany, Satchinandana Swami made a really nice comment, because we were chanting all day long, you know, like from 10 in the morning till 10 at night, 5 days in a row. So it's not that, oh, it's bliss all the time. No, sometimes you're confronted with this fact, and that I'm not really calling out to Krishna. I want to enjoy this situation. I want nice music. I want this. Or, you know, it's actually a sadhana. It's purifying. And, you know, you're chanting. It's not always enjoyable. Because, not that it can't be, but generally our material conditioning. And Maharaj said that devotees are coming up to him and saying, oh Maharaj, it's so dry. I'm feeling so dry. And he said, that's good. You know, you're getting some information. You're getting some information, what's going on in the heart. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also explained it so nicely. He said that we're chanting Hare Krishna, we want to be with Krishna, we want to experience Krishna, but sometimes he's not there. A lot of times he's not there, we think. He's always there, just like Super Soul is always there, but for as far as we're concerned, he could not be there. We don't know. We have so little awareness that there's gods in our heart. So, wait, I lost my train of thought. Help me here. Oh yeah, that we're, I have a senior moment. Many senior moments. So Krishna's not appearing for all intents and purposes for us. So why does he do that? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, for the purpose of examining the heart. For the purpose of examining the heart. So really a certain amount, like you came, they said, it's like a surgical operation. It is, really. Actually, if we're chanting sincerely, we should be examining our heart. We should see, how am I responding to the holy name? Krishna's here. I'm here. Krishna's here in the form of his holy name. I'm calling out to Krishna. What am I feeling? What's going on? You know, am I wanting Krishna or not wanting Krishna? What's happening? It should be, you know, it should be what we're doing. Otherwise, what are we chanting? Just some syllables. And if we chant in that way, then Krishna becomes, then we're actually there. We're actually present in the chanting, and Krishna becomes inclined by his mercy to become present in that chanting. We have that experience sometimes that we have, that we're chanting and it's, you know, just chanting, and sometimes we feel that Krishna's really there. So we, you know, even in our neophyte condition, we can experience Krishna's, you know, sometimes feeling like he's with us, he's helping us, and sometimes, where are you? You know, don't we have that experience? I do, anyway. Where are you, Krishna? He's so far away. So why does he do that? Saul, wake up. You know? And think about these things. And then you know, because Prabhupada says that chanting, I mean, Prabhupada, from day one, he gave us the highest conception of chanting, like a child calling for the mother. Wow, that's such a high thing, you know, and we just take it like, yeah. But he's saying that, you know. So Prabhupada, right out the gate, he gave us such a exalted understanding of spiritual life and how to, you know, approach Krishna. And then if we're calling that way, so Krishna always does that. We get a little, we feel forlorn and lonely, and we call out to Krishna, and we take shelter of him, and then he gives us some mercy, and we think, oh, everything's good now. I don't need Krishna anymore. We used to call this bhakti yo-yo. Instead of bhakti yoga, it's bhakti yo-yo. Up and down, and up and down. Because, right? Because that's what we're Krishna, help me, and then Krishna comes to our aid, and then, hey, I'm pretty advanced. I'm practically a pure devotee. And then, Krishna, where are you? So we're, you know, this is practically our life in this stage. It's called Anishta Bhakti, right? Trying to become purified. But Krishna's helping us in this way. Krishna's helping us. Yeah. Boy, I am.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was just wondering about sometimes an experience of fear in going deeper in our relationship with Krishna. Sometimes an experience of fear in going deeper in our relationship with Krishna. We may be kind of afraid to probe those boundaries.
Yeah. That's a nice... Very sincere. That's true. We're afraid. Because of the material conception, we've been cheated in relationships so many times. And so we think that we'll also be, you know, this will be a similar thing. Also, we think that we're going to have to give up something, you know, when we take shelter of Krishna, that I'll be missing something. So that's a fact. That's our situation. That we're actually afraid to take shelter of Krishna fully or surrender to Krishna. So that's what we're working on. That's what we're working on. And therefore, we have this process that we gradually come to understand Krishna and gradually give up our hold on the material world, and we really trust, we can fully trust Krishna. We can't obviously take shelter of Krishna unless we actually trust him. We can't just give our life to someone we don't trust. So part of devotional service is exploring that relationship. We don't maybe know Krishna yet, but we're exploring our relationship through these processes, and we find that well, actually, another way Prabhupada explained the chanting, it was really nice. He said that Krishna, you know, he's saying, I'll give you everything. Krishna is saying that in the Bhagavad Gita. Take shelter of me. I'll take care of everything. I'll relieve all your sinful reactions. I'll give you everything. I'll take care of you. It's like a rich man says, you know, I'll take care of you. So, but we don't agree. So he says, so we don't agree. So what happens? You remain poor, that's all. You remain poor. He says, therefore this chanting, so that we'll agree. So practically in the kirtan and in our japa, it's the sadhana, that's our process for this age. We're trying to take shelter of Krishna, and we experience Krishna's presence in our lives little by little, and we experience how Krishna's helping me in so many different ways, and we're reviving our relationship. And over the years of doing that and different experiences, sometimes lifetimes, but whatever it is, we again can trust Krishna. Actually, he says that. What is it? Bahunam janmanam ante gyanamam mam prapajate. After many births and deaths. So we've been doing this for a long time, testing our relationship with Krishna, working out our end of the bargain, and seeing if Krishna is trustworthy. So anyway, your question's nice. That's our journey. So it's not just like, okay, I'll trust Krishna. We could do that, we should do that, but for most of us, at least personally speaking, it's a process of developing faith. Like Prabhupada would say, just like the, you know, devotional service means the development of faith. You know, we start with a little faith. And as we pursue this, we have more experience of Krishna. Again, it's not just academic. We have experiences. We experience that Krishna's come through for me. Haven't you had that experience sometimes that Krishna comes through for you when you least expect it? So that should tell us why we can trust this person. People have faith in everything else, but not God. Faith in insurance companies. People criticize, oh, you're a people of faith. You just believe in something. But everybody believes in something. You know? If you get on an airplane, it's a great act of faith. Thank you. I'm really, am I going, this is really long. Is it okay? Okay. I'm sorry. All right, Krista. Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, sometimes you get trials. You get trials in your devotional service. And if you keep the attitude that Krishna will come through for you, you know, you'll be amazed at how fast that he will reciprocate with that that spirit, with that mood.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that in my own practice. Wow.
Yeah, thank you for that.
It sounded like you mentioned a misconception. You said, I'm just double checking. You said we're afraid we'll have to give something up.
Yeah.
That's a large misconception. I mean, is that obvious?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we think we're getting some pleasure in this place. I mean, yeah, isn't that? That's a practical experience. People, I remember one devotee said, you know, they were kind of coming around devotees, and said, but I always avoided hearing class. Because I knew if I heard something, I'd have to surrender. So, it's like that we're attached to our paltry material pleasure, which really isn't pleasure. I mean, Prabhupada explains again and again, there's no actual pleasure in the material world, but we think it is. And so we're afraid of that, I'll miss out on something if I surrender to Krishna. Is that what you're asking? Or, yeah. So again, it's unless we have an experience of our awakening relationship with Krishna and our awakening love for Him and that pleasure that comes by His grace, then how will we do that? So it's a process. Prabhupada would say it's a process. It's like getting to know someone. We're getting to know Krishna and we're getting to know ourselves. It's a great journey. Devotional service is the greatest exploration. Who am I anyway? And who is Krishna? It has to be personally realized through the reciprocal dealings in devotional service. It's reciprocation. So, thank you very much, dear devotees. Thank you for your association, your kindness. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Just on the chair, I'm going to put the Maheshwara.